I'm going to be talking about some weird marketing strategies for 2022. Woohoo! Hey, what's up, party people? It's me, Sarah G with The Smack, and I'm back. I am a CFA charter holder, and I used to be a financial advisor. On this podcast, I provide non-BS-oriented, straight-up views on LinkedIn and other financial advisor marketing topics. You can't get this anywhere else, people. So if that's of value, then please subscribe. And if not, then please leave this podcast right now. All right, financial advisors. The first thing is, with the Fed announcing its intention to taper next year, I think that you should think about crisis marketing, as there may be some volatility. I did a podcast on crisis marketing. One of the things I just would tell you is that visibility is really critical during those times. Use social media. If you could appear on video, even better. Or any way that you can come across in person, whether it be virtual or actually in person now, as we might be able to do that with the pandemic kind of filtering down. Review your crisis marketing and be ready. Get your CRM ready. Get your marketing materials ready. Be ready in case there is a crash. Now, that's not a predictive statement, just saying. Now, the second thing is, one thing in general I think you can always improve upon is your headline. I think that marketing really is the headline. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. If you're writing a blog, what's the title of it? If you're writing a newsletter, what's the subject line? If you're writing a social media post, what's the first line? There is a focus on the meaning and the content at the expense of the grabber, which is the first line, or the hook, we could call it. I think you should spend about 30 to 40% of your time deciding what the title or the first line or the headline should be for any marketing thing you produce. And I'm not saying have the rest of the content be crap, because that's not going to work for you either. I think that the biggest problem is advisors not getting enough visibility. You're appearing the same as everybody else. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the titles and the first lines and the headlines are just boring. I would advise you to produce less, have it be of higher quality. And I want you to skew your time. I don't care if you spend 50% of invested time on the marketing piece, on the headline. I think that that is time better spent. And that is my honest appraisal of what I see and of marketing performance in this industry. One tip I would give you specifically, you don't have to make the title bogus or bizarre. It doesn't have to be crazy, but you should put something that's a little bit surprising in the title. Now, I'm not saying that you make the title be like, here's how to sell everything and retire right now, or whatever. Okay. Something preposterous. I'm saying, let me show you the example. Let me show you the difference between these two titles. Boring title, charitable gifting strategies for the end of the year. Better title, charitable gifting strategies that make you look as generous as Bill Gates, evoking an emotion of envy. Just adding one unusual phrase, as generous as Bill Gates. And it wasn't like I was saying, here's how to run five DAFs at once and give away half your life savings and concentrate a position. Like, I didn't say that. Okay. So it's a simple concept, but I'm just giving a little bit of flavor by adding a kind of unusual phrase. Another example, instead of how to retire in 2022, try something like this. How to retire without having to do all the gobbledygook that they all try to sell you. Interesting word, gobbledygook, right? The third strategy I just would tell you is, you know, and I'm not going to be overly pushing Google or blogs or websites, but I guess they have some industry statistics that I'm sure the other marketing people are throwing at you. You've already probably all read them about how search, you know, people are finding advisors through Google search. Some of you probably don't even believe it anyways, no matter what statistics they throw at you. And I don't blame you for that. But I will tell you that I have seen people do really well by creating blogs that get found on Google. And I personally am found on search a lot. I like it. I think there's nothing better, in my opinion, than having Google be my unhired, unpaid salesperson. And I guess I've paid with the time that I've invested to make that blog. But I think it's been a pretty good exchange between me and Google. Do more competitive research on Google. So just go ahead and search on the term financial advisor near me. Go ahead and do it, right? Just type that into Google. Now, the first ones that are come up, I probably like there's a Morgan Stanley office near you or an Edward Jones office. Just ignore that. And they're just winning because they're either paying for ads or because their domains already have authority, meaning that Google already trusts their websites because it's like Fidelity Investments, right? There's so many people are backlinking to that. They get so much traffic all the time. So Google knows that they're legit. You want to get a sense though, when you scroll past all the brand names, you can probably see that maybe on page one, but maybe not, there might be a local competitor in your town. Maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't. Find out what those people are doing. And then if you want to get found in search, maybe try to take a page from their book. I am not going to be one of those marketing people that says like, oh, the statistics are that everyone's finding advisors through Google search now. Oh, you all have to do it and go upgrade your website. Oh, pay me the $7,000 and I'll get a web developer. A lot of you just don't believe in this. I think still the majority of advisors are found through word of mouth. And I think that's just reality. But I will tell you that I have seen a lot of advisors do really well with this. And if you're envious or you want to be that person, if you could create great content that can be found and can educate people and have people be like, I'm smarter after reading that, if you're willing to put in the time and effort to do that, then I think that Google could be a great option for you. But it's not an insignificant investment of time and money. So you got to commit. Either consider your website a lead generation website and go and get it optimized on Google by figuring out what your competition is doing, and or hiring a search consultant, a Google specified IT person, or just leave the website as is. Pay your, whatever it is, $100 a month in hosting or whatever it may be. Do your upgrades, protect yourself from cybersecurity vulnerabilities, et cetera. But just don't even think of it as part of your marketing. But if you are going to include it in marketing, then I think you should blow it up using some of the strategies that I've just described. And if you have questions about that, you could talk to me or somebody else if you like somebody else better. I won't be offended. Don't worry. The other thing for 2022 that you might want to be thinking about is the SEC marketing rule, that one that said that testimonials are at some point going to become allowed. I think it would be great to be thinking about this. You want to be queuing up who it is that you should ask for referrals. And there's a whole strategy that you would want to use when you do that. I did a blog about this and I will link it in the blog that's attached to this podcast. Now, the next thing is, as you know, crypto is the hype. I, first of all, just want to be very clear. I'm not advising anybody to go out there and invest in crypto for their clients or to become a crypto financial advisor. Absolutely not. But what I think is that even if you are not advising on it, I think that you have to have an opinion on it. Now, I know that there are a lot of advisors that can't even express opinions about crypto because their platform doesn't allow it. So before you go whining back to me on this podcast as you're driving down the road or at the gym or wherever you are, just want to tell you in advance, I'm sorry, but this part doesn't apply to you. You could just skip forward in my podcast to the next point. I feel as if it is the responsibility of the industry to act as advocates and to educate investors who, many of whom are unfortunately going to get sold these lines about Bitcoin is the next gold. The upside for potential for Bitcoin is 10 times what it is now or 100 times. I mean, I don't want to say who it was that said this, but I was on a webinar the other day with a very prominent industry professional that was saying that every crypto, you know, form of crypto is going to become its own asset class. And then there will be tokenized, you know, everything's going to become tokenized. And so the amount of asset classes that we're including is going to be growing by like hundreds and hundreds or something like that. It's all kinds of these bogus ideas that are just flying around. And even seemingly credible industry professionals are saying things like this.
I just feel like that this is the typical mistake that the financial services industry makes over and over and over and over again, and I'm sick of it. So I just want to encourage you to have integrity. And even if you're not advising on it, please put a word of caution out there and just explain to people, look, before you, if you're thinking about investing in crypto, or if you're hearing stuff that people are saying to you, please consider, what is the source of this information? Do they have anything to gain by you listening to what they say and doing what they recommend to do? How credible is the source that you're getting your crypto information from? Have you evaluated your risk tolerance? When was the last time that you put together a cash flow projection? This amount that you're considering investing, would you be okay without it? And I know that there's the typical line of, well, you know, be prepared to lose it all if you're investing in crypto. That doesn't carry the weight or the gravitas of saying something like, okay, so right now your portfolio is valued at 800,000, okay? And you're taking drawdowns at a clip of this or that. Now, according to the sequence of returns risk, if you were to lose that crypto investment, if that whole thing went to zero, at the same time as you're withdrawing 6% annually on your portfolio, here's how the projection would potentially change over the next 20 years. Oh, there's a $30,000 difference. You see what I'm saying? So I just would encourage you to try to put it into real numbers for people instead of just saying, be prepared to lose it all, because it's kind of tongue in cheek. And I just don't think it has the same relevance to people as if you put it in the context of their real financial situation. Be an advocate. Try to be as independent as you can be. And it's just because I can't bear to think about the people that are going to invest in this because they've been ill-advised or because they've read something that somebody from our industry said, and then this is how our industry gets a very bad reputation. And it looks like it's not going to shed it anytime soon because of the bad behavior that I'm seeing people exhibit when talking about crypto. And it really makes me angry. So stop it with your financial advisor powers. So the last point I'm going to make is about using social media weirdly. And this is going to be really, really strange, but I've had like such a wonderfully enjoyable year on social media because I've done some things that are really different. Before 2021, I was kind of using social media like a bullhorn. It was like when I got a blog, I would post it, and I was always trying to be kind of like on a pedestal, so to speak, as if, hey, everybody, I've got something great to say. Let me just announce it to all of you and impress you with all of my brilliance. And I'm not saying that my content was crap, right? I would tend to think that it's good content. It's my own content. I obviously have pride in it, right? But that's not the point. The point is, once I started to change my style, I built so many good relationships and I learned so much from people. And let me tell you what I did. I use it more like, almost like a chat room, almost like a dinner party where I'm always posting these surveys or trying to start conversations. And not only have I benefited from learning, instead of like me trying to say like, no, this is how it is, you should do this. And it's not that I don't say that sometimes, but I also use it as a conversation. So I'll say something like, I posted a survey the other day that with the increased politicization of the stock market and the influence of Twitter and Reddit, is the stock market still a good place for people to put their sacred retirement assets, or should they be looking elsewhere? And it was just, it started a great conversation. So just like you don't want to be that person at the dinner party that's out there trying to blab on and impress everybody with your, you know, how great you are, just don't be that person on social media either. Just be a great conversationalist, be a great conversation starter, be curious about the world, and ask honest questions. Like I had gotten so many responses and started so many great industry discussions when I posted things like, hey, who's the best custodian for an RIA firm with 50 million in assets? One of my great discussions was, how much in assets do you need in order to strike out and start your own firm? That was valuable to people because I had people from all over the industry weighing, and I had vendors coming in and talking about the best, you know, tools to use. I had experienced advisors coming in and talking about when they started their practices. So build a community that talks is what I'm trying to say, and you'll be so rare and so different And many people consider me a breath of fresh air. Now, I'm not saying it like those same people aren't going to be the ones to turn around and be like, F you, Sarah, because I get emails from those people too all the time. But I think that it is just wonderful. And really what the algorithms like the best is the people that get a lot of comments. So you may have to tweak your perspective on things, but that's totally the perspective I would advise going forward for 2022. It's how I see the algorithms working in this current epoch that we're in. Who knows, maybe that'll be different 5 years from now. But at the present moment, that's what I see. So hey, everybody, thanks for listening. That is all that I have got for now. If you want to work with me, I have a membership that currently has spots open. And I also have an ebook on 47 financial advisor LinkedIn messages that will not make you look stupid. It's helped a lot of people. Or if you, you know, want to work with me or have a consultation or whatever, just reach out to your girl, Sarah G. And so that's it. Happy holidays, everybody. And I will see you in the new year.